Shalom, this is Chaim Grobinder, Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva. And I'm sorry that I was not able to teach last night, but we'll talk today about the Haggadah. The two parts of the Haggadah that I call your attention to. Two parts. The first part that I call your attention to is the fact that there is a table of contents in the Haggadah. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Table of contents. It's such a happy, popular table of contents that we often sing it. The children all know the tune. It's a great way to start the Seder, Kadeh, Yishuchatz, etc. But why do we need a table of contents if we have a Haggadah? I mean, it's all there. Everybody has one, either in Hebrew or in any other language under the sun. I mean, why do we have to start with the table of contents? We're not going to skip. We'll go from the beginning to the end. So this occurred to me as a kind of a problem. Why doesn't the Haggadah just start from the beginning, which is Kaddish? They have to make Kiddush. What do I have to know before I make Kiddush, that there is Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, etc.? Doesn't make sense to me, at least not obvious sense. Obvious sense. The other part of the Haggadah that I want to call attention to is the part that's called Nirtzah. The very last part of the Haggadah. Now, Nirtza itself contains two parts. The first part is reasonable after a fashion, and the rest of it makes no sense at all. I mean, like, what does Haggadah have anything to do with the Seder night? Now, I know that we Jews are both clever and very storied in making certain kinds of assumptions. And it's true, you can make anything fit in with everything, but let's be simple-minded for a change. What does Haggadah have to do with what we're doing? What does Echad Miyodeah have to do with what we're doing? What does El Bnei have to do with what we're doing? I know that everybody likes that part. I know that people like the songs and the singing and the happy at the end. But what does that have specifically to do with the Haggadah? I actually found it quite annoying. Why do I have to sing those songs? So I have the two parts of the Haggadah that I find difficult. The very beginning, or the beginning before the beginning, the table of contents that starts Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, and then again the Nirtza. So that's the problem that we're looking at tonight. The problem of the ordering of the Haggadah, we might call it. The ordering of the Haggadah, but I didn't really let on to the full question. Nirtzah begins with a piyut, which might actually have something to do with what's going on. And that piyut begins with the words Chasal, Sidur, Pesach, Kehilchato. The word Chasal means I finished it. It doesn't mean I did away with it. It means I did what I was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do, and that itself is an interesting thing, because you know that the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim is told to us in the book of Shemot, in the Parashiyot of Shemot, Va'era, and Bo, B'Shalach, Shemot, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, are the Parashiyot that tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Those Parashiyot that tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim are not really represented very much in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, you would think that's the obvious way. You ought to put together a Haggadah. You ought to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's all written in the Chumash. I mean, I know that it's Arami Ovedavi, but we'll get to that in a moment. But the Parashiyot of Shemot, Va'era, B'Shalach are not represented. Other things are in the story. For example, Arba Kosot, the four cups of wine that we drink. I mean, they're not part of the story. They're part of how it should be after the events of Yitziat Mitzrayim took place. We used to be slaves, so we're not going to drink four cups of wine and a meal. But now we can drink four cups of wine. What makes that such a big deal? It's hard for me to understand. But let's try. You know that there are two ways of looking at history. And I don't know if there's any way to determine which of the two ways is more correct or better, but there are two ways of looking at history. One is that history is something that happened, and therefore, because it happened, you could tell what it was. Think about yesterday. Yesterday was gone. But that's why I can talk about it. I can tell you what happened on yesterday because it's kind of frozen. The yesterday of things is frozen. Tomorrow? Well, we don't know. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So there are two ways to look at history. We want to tell a story. We want to tell a story about Yitziat Mitzrayim. So what do we say? Yitziat Mitzrayim happened yesterday. So what's the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Well, it's in the Parashiyot of Shemot, in Va'era, and Bo. It's in those Parashiyot. But I don't want to tell that story. I don't want to tell that story. I want to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim tomorrow. I want to take a stand and say history, there is history, which is forever. It never changes. That's the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's not that there was a Yitziat Mitzrayim. We know that from the Chumash. We know that every year we read the Parashiyot, Shemot, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach. We read those Parashiyot devotedly. We all know the story very well. But when it comes to telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, when it comes to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach, we're not telling that story. That's a story that you could tell. It's the story that happened. It's a story that the Torah defines and delineates very carefully. It's something that happened to us once. But there's another story. There's the story that is never ending. There's the story that's never ending. It continues. Yitziat Mitzrayim will never change. It's true that Jewish history has difficulties in it from time to time. In fact, difficulties in it many, many times. And yet, we believe that the purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim, which was to create a nation dedicated to the ideas of the Torah, and also a nation dedicated to Eretz Yisrael, so that story is the story of tomorrow, the story that we want to tell. And that's the only reason that I could understand for telling about four sons. I mean, I understand the Torah talks about children and teaching them about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Well, what are you teaching them on the night of the Seder? Are you teaching them Aleph Bet? Are you teaching them? Are you teaching them the psukim in the Torah that teach the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim? Or are you teaching them ongoing and never-ending history of Am Yisrael? And so let's get back to the end. When the Haggadah comes to an end after Hallel. The Haggadah comes to an end and then we say this piyut. A piyut is a poem. And this poem was written by Rav Yosef Tuvelin. Yosef Tuvelin. Tuvelin is a rough translation of Bon Fi. Bon Fi means, though Bon is happy, or Fi is son, Tuvelin. There was a well-known family. There were families that had Hebrew names in those days. And so Yosef Tuvelin, who lived about the year 1000, I don't remember exactly the dates, but around the year 1000, it was certainly part of the group that we call Rishonim, right? The primary interpreters of Torah. And Rabbi Yosef Tuvelin wrote this poem, which contains the words, Chasal Sidu Pesach Il Chato. We're finished, chasal. But chasal also means to do away with something. But what did we do away with? We did away with Sidur Pesach Kehilchato. We didn't really discuss the organization of things lehalacha. What do we call generally Talmud Torah? But we tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach in order that we understand that it is the history that flows, the history that is not a history of the moment, or the moment meaning yesterday. It's the history of tomorrow, the history that doesn't change, the history that remains whatever it should be, so that in fact, there is a lesson, a message that we are supposed to derive from the fact that there's an introduction and the fact that there is a summarizing piyut called Chazal Sidur Pesach. The introduction tells us that there's order, and order is what reminds us of the creation of the world. The world was not created in an instant. It wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be a world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days, one day after the other, each day having a creation associated to it. And that's what taught us God created the world. When God created the world, God created order. Created day one and day two, and day one will be forever day one, and day two forever will be day two. That's divine creation. Things don't change. They remain the same, right? And so when Rabbi Yosef Tuvelin said, Chasal Sidur Pesach. Chasal Sidur Pesach, he meant Sidur Pesach as the order of things as they are presented in the Haggadah. I say the Haggadah as the Haggadah presents itself to me. I don't want to say that. I want to say something. I want to say something in the Chumash, because the order in the Haggadah, taking its kind of idea from the order in creation, is never ending. That's the point of the story. The story of Pesach, even though it may at times look as though somehow we've abrogated that story, we've left it behind, but that's not the case. And that's not what we're there to teach our children. We're not there to teach the children a particular conversation that happened between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is trying to instill in our children the idea that history is what will be. And that's a difficult idea, I understand, but it is an important one. That Pesach, Yitziat Mitzrayim, Zman Chayruteinu, all of these notions that we do point to on the night of the Seder, teach us what will be. What will be, not what it sometimes looks as though has been abrogated by heaven. So to answer the question about the Torah that is chosen, right, it goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you should talk about Arami Oved Avi. Arami Oved Avi is the tefillah that the person who brought Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash says. I mean, of course it says Arami Oved Avi V'Yerid Mitzrayim Mitzrayim. Right? It says Arami Oved Avi is like a kind of summary of the history. But it's in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the point is the Torah said, I don't want you to tell your son that there was Yitziat Mitzrayim. I want you to tell your son that there is Yitziat Mitzrayim. Choose the text Arami Oved Avi. So I think there's a purpose for the introductory table of contents. There's a purpose for the piyut that we say at the end, although I find no way of justifying Chad Gadya. Nevertheless, Chasal Sibur Pesach is important, because that's the way we see things. That's what we're doing when they tell the story. And that's why the Torah was so interested in us telling the story in a proper way. And that's the way that the Haggadah represents the truth of the message of the Seder. Okay. I wish you all a Chag Kasher v'Sameach. Remember, if you have a question, ask your local rabbi. It's important to ask the rabbis, keep them on their toes. All the best. Have a good Shabbos. Chakot Shabbos Sameach. All the best.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. And Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for Shabbat.
Thank you.